vision. We thank God for the fact that He gives us vision. And as we approach His throne, we ask for His knowledge, His will, His way, and to watch over everyone traveling. And you'll all remember that in Fall Fellowship, we talked of the king of Babylon and the vision of Daniel. And how that Nebuchadnezzar, well, let's just open our Bibles to chapter 5, the great book of Daniel. Belshazzar, which means the prince of Baal in the Babylonian tongue. And sure enough, he was a prince of the devil. Right? Because he went into the... He took all the precious vessels, communion, though there it was not at that time, but the holy Kadesh, the holy vessels from God's house. And he threw a party. I mean, a big one. And they were inebriated. And the father just had one hand, and that's all right on the wall. And it frightened this boy pretty good. As a matter of fact, his kidneys turned loose, and he wet his britches. Okay, it scared him that bad. And he immediately called for the magicians and said, I need to know what's going on. And, of course, Daniel, having understood it, as it is written... Let's just pick it up at chapter 5, verse 18, where Daniel begins to explain after saying, you keep your pretties, and I'll tell you what it means. O thou king, the Most High God gave... Who did? The Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, it was his grandfather, a kingdom, and majesty, glory, and honor. In other words, I want you to make note that God's in control. God gave it to him. He didn't take it by force against God. God gave it to him for a purpose, the same as he gives the king of Babylon of the great book of Revelation purpose in making an appearance before the second advent. You've got to be prepared for that. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. You know, Saddam Hussein sure made a good type for that, did he not? I mean, the open graves we found where the torture that he brought on innocent people and so forth, he was a prime example for king of Babylon. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened in pride, he was it. Okay? He did it all himself. God didn't do anything. He was disposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him, and he was driven from his sons of men, from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. Saddam Hussein, when the dew kind of passed over him, and when they dug him out of that pit, or brought him out of that pit, he was in a terrible shape. He looked exactly as they described practically Nebuchadnezzar when seven times passed over him. And 7 months after the great statue of him was pulled down, he was pulled from that pit. God kind of does things, and he expects our attention to be gathered by it. So either you learn by experience of what God tells us, but anyway, what did that hand write? That's what's important. Skip on with me to verse 25, okay, where he begins to tell the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, those that were left over, you got people left over now trying to establish a government and so forth. And this is verse 25 of the same chapter. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tikal, Euphrasian. Let's take it one word at a time, 26. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And what do I want you to gain from that? God's in control. God knows what's going on. That's why you want to pay attention to him. That's why you want to obey him. Tikal. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. God weighs everybody. God watches what you do. He's got a book and he keeps your name in it. And what you do and what you believe, he writes it. It's called the Book of Life. And he keeps it in there. And hey, when it stacked up here to old Belshazzar, it didn't look too good. I don't know, how's yours looking? I know we're, none of us are perfect, but at least I hope you got more good than you do bad, all right? Because that gets dangerous, okay? Perez, thy kingdom is divided or broken and given to the Medes and Persians. Now, do you know who this is today, the Persians and the Medes? It's Iran. And Iran, at this time, did come in, did take over. Verse 29, then commanded Belshazzar, that's the prince of Baal, you might say the prince of the devil, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler of the kingdom. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, that's the Babylonians, slain. And Darius, the Median, took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, about 62 years old. So God keeps in control whomever God wants in control. And so it is today. Now, we're hearing a lot of saber rattling. It is obvious the old king of Babylon type, Saddam, he's gone. Okay. He's still putting up a big fuss and squealing, but he's out of power. And we have saber rattling over in the country of the Medes and Persians. That's the Iran. And you're going to see some problems there. Let's go to the 8th chapter of this book of Daniel. Now, as you all know, and I'm going to fill in here a little. Some of you are going to find this maybe repetitious. That's okay. We got some that need to be brought up to date. Back in the chapter 2, verse 2, in the middle of the verse, the manuscripts change from pure Hebrew to Syriac or Aramaic, whichever you prefer. And it is written then in the Babylonian tongue all through the captivity. But when you come to this 8th chapter, it's back in pure Hebrew again, meaning what? Restoration. It's how the end's going to be. It's what brings us back into smooth sailing. It's how it is at the end. And that's what God wants you to ascertain from this. We're going to have the vision here. It's a vision we came for in this 8th chapter. Listen to it carefully. Verse 1. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, this goes back 2 years from before, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. This is the second one that came to him. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, that I saw that I was at Shushan. Shushan is in Iran, okay? It's just across the Tigris, barely out of Iraq, up today, over into Iran, in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw a vision, and I was by the river Ulai, which is to say, again, a little tributary over in Iran that runs into a canal that runs into the river there. But in Iran, that's where he's at when he had received this vision. That's important. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up for last. And, of course, this is the Medes and the Persians. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will. In other words, do you know why he did according to his will? God allowed it. Now, you want to be real careful. Don't go to sleep on me, because this is going to turn over to the supernatural in a moment, and I want you to catch it when it does, okay? Because that brings it up to this time. That brings it up to the generation of the fig tree. And we'll document that before this lecture is completed. So stay with me, or you'll miss the boat, okay? And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. You must remember from the book of Revelation that we have 10 earthly kings, But we also have 10 spiritual kings. They're Satan's own little troops in the book of Revelation. And they appear here on earth. You will read of them in the 17th chapter of Revelation. So we kind of have a spiritual power that begins to ooze its way in over that that is historical and is absolutely in time. Stay alert. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran into him in the fury of his power. He had the power to do it. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler. That means bile. It was terrible. Against him, and smote the ram and broke his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. When Satan, the true king of Babylon of Revelation, begins to take over, there won't be any opposing him. God will allow it. But he does it quite differently than is written here. We'll discover before we finish this chapter. Therefore, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and from it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. Now, that gives you that are students of God's Word a clue. When you hear of the four winds, you know you're talking spiritual, that's ruach in the Hebrew tongue, and you're talking about the end time, I mean the end of this dispensation. And these four horns, these four sabbaticals, these four terms of time are very important. And they have happened basically in your generation, if you're as old as I am. I've lived through all four of them. I was just a baby, just a couple of months old when the first one happened. All right? Verse 9. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, and this, of course, is the Antichrist. All right? One of his names. Toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land. That's Jerusalem. And it waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host. I want you to mark in your mind, cast down, not set up, cast down after the fact, of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. We've now changed to spiritual. And we've gone back, and this is history. You know it as a student of God's Word, what he's talking about. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Now, let me ask you something. When, all of you know, when was the daily sacrifice taken away? You're Christian. It's when Christ was crucified and his blood shed. There was never any need for a daily sacrifice to be had after that. It's sacrilegious. It's an abomination to God to give a blood sacrifice after Christ gave his own blood. So through this one, this evil one, the chiding of crucify him came forth. And Christ was crucified. And that said it, that did take away the daily sacrifice. So there should be no doubt in your mind now who we're talking about here, how that we have gone from the earthly. But you still have those types, Iran, Iraq, Saddam, the princes of Iran as they come on along. But don't worry, the action is in heaven. The action is with our Father. And he is quite in control. But that brings you up to the history of the crucifixion. Now listen closely. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. That's breaking God's law. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And so it is, especially in this generation, when you have people that are trying to eliminate our terminology, our heritage, in God we trust. And the truth of our Constitution, which was taken from common law, which was taken from the great Word of God, and trying to bring in a division point where you've almost got Satan ruling again, even in the governments of the world, except for a few. And God blesses America, and He always will. But don't worry, Satan doesn't give up easy. And who do you think God has in opposition to Him? Christ is going to sit on the throne at the right hand of God until His enemies are made His footstool. So who are you? He's got work for you. You're going to stand against the false one, as it is written in Mark 13, to be delivered up and the Holy Spirit speak through you. It's going to happen. You better prepare yourself for it. We talk about it, but it's going to become a fact before the too distant future. The truth, they tried to tromp it to the ground. God's word will never be tromped into the ground, but He'll try. 13. Then I heard one saint speaking. Now you know that we've moved to supernatural when saints begin to talk, okay? And another saint, unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice, that's to say concerning the crucifixion of Christ and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary, that's God's sanctuary, and the host to be trodden underfoot? How long? That should be a very interesting question to you because you're involved. How long? And verse 14. And He said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, do you know what that word days is? It's not days. It's evening and morning, or morning and evening. The day, each, that many mornings and evenings of sacrifice, okay? That's how long it will be. It will be 2,300 days. 2,300 days of what? Daniel's time in relation to our time. But it's important that you make a mental note in your mind to finish this lecture that this word days, most of you will have it, I think, even in your little companion. I don't know about the companion. I don't have one in my hand. In your little King James, it says, verse 14, days is evening, morning. So that's what the manuscripts say. Why am I declaring that? Because it's important. It's going to allow you to put these dates in action, to have it properly translated. 2,300 days. When was the last time the sanctuary was cleansed by God? Do you remember? I've taught it. Joshua chapter 23, verse 13. God said, I'm cleansing this thing one more time for you. After that, you're on your own until the end when I cleanse it for final. And so He cleansed it for Joshua. And never has God cleansed it since then. But He's going to at the second advent. So you can make a note. Joshua chapter 23, verse 13. Now, Joshua died not too long after that. Joshua he ran a pretty tight ship. And he kept people in line, or he thumped some gourds. Okay. But the day he died, it wasn't long after that. The very next year, they began worshiping Baal again. And so it has been ever since that people run amok, except for God's election. That's what's important, okay? We'll be coming back to this, okay? Let's continue on. Verse 15. And it came to pass when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and sought for the meaning. I was trying to figure it out. What did it mean? Then, behold, there stood before me as the appearance of a man. Looked like a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of Elam, which called him and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Now, of course, Gabriel is an archangel. So if you still think we're here on earth, you're sadly mistaken. God is giving you instruction. Do you know what Gabriel means in the Hebrew tongue? Man of God. And God utilizes him to bring truth, to allow truth, to keep truth in line. He said, Gabriel, you make him understand. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid, and I fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Not then, but today. At the time of the end, that's when the vision is going to be. Whose mouth is that from? Gabriel. What is it Gabriel sounds? They say he blows the horn. Okay. So he should know. All right. Now, as he was speaking with me, I was in deep sleep on my face toward the ground, and he touched me and set me upright. In other words, he gave me the strength. You know, when you're in the presence of an archangel, you're not going to stand, okay? When you're in the presence of God, it's not a very simple thing. Talk to God today. Oh, did you? Verse 19, and he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for at the time appointed the end shall be. It's going to come. It's going to happen. The ram, that which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia. That's to say, Iran. And the rough goat is the king of Grisa, Javan. Now, if you'll remember where we're switching here, I want you mentally... I taught this not too long ago, the 31 days mentioned in the 10th chapter of Daniel. And who did Gabriel and Michael fight with there but this same one? So we're not talking about a man. It's a king. We've now switched back to where Satan and his little lieutenants are beginning to move in. So we have a switch. That'd be the kings of Satan, not kings of the earth, as mentioned in the great book of Revelation. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. Who's Satan's? That's whose power it's going to be. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of furious countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. And of course, again, this is the Antichrist, okay? You're going to get real well acquainted with him if your knees don't buckle on you. And they're not, because I'll be right behind you with the two before and I'll straighten them up for you, okay? Takes a little discipline sometimes, and you're going to discipline yourself in serving God. You can cut it. You can do it. You're not a play actor. You're a Christian. It means a Christ man. 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully. Do you know what that means? Church. He destroys wonderfully by trying to give you to give up your professed faith. Say, believe me, I brought peace to the world. It's all over. There's no war. Don't I look good? Okay. And shall prosper in practice and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. He'll try to, but he can't cut it. Why? Christ has given you power over him and everything he's got. Do you know how to use it? What have you got in the tank? Okay? And you know that's a figure of speech. What I'm saying, you keep it full of knowledge. You keep your lamp burning. 25. And through his policy also, he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Oh, he can work miracles. We've gone supernatural here, friend. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace, by church, by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of peace, prince of princes. But he shall be broken without hand. He's no problem for Christ. Okay. But he shall be broken without hand. He's no problem for Christ. Okay. He's no problem for God's election, because they're geared for it. They're ready for it. They're spiritually ready. 26, sharpen up. And the vision of the evening and morning which was told is true. Now, do you see why I wanted you to properly translate days? That's the vision. Not days.
evenings and mornings.
He said, it is true, that vision, the 2300 days. Wherefore, shut thou up the vision, for it shall be for many days. And I, Daniel, fainted.
I mean, it took him out.
And was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision. But none understood it. They just couldn't quite get there. Well, you know, as God said, close up the vision, Daniel. But in the last days, people will and shall understand. It will. Why? Because when certain things happen and they align, then you can understand and figure it out. How do you transfer 2300 of Daniel's days to our years? It's real simple. You go to chapter 12. Just listen to me. Don't go there. Listen to me closely. You go to chapter 12. You've all been through this before in teaching the book of Daniel. There would be, according to Daniel's days, from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ until the order goes forth to set up the sanctuary for the end time. Good fig, bad fig, being the generation of the fig tree, was the year of our Lord, 1948, when Israel I became a nation again, okay, with both good and bad figs there. When did that happen? Year of our Lord, 1948. So, there were 1,290 of Daniel's days between the year 33, the crucifixion, and the year of our Lord, 1948, the setting up. And, quite frankly, all you do is subtract 33 years from 1948, and you come up with the figure 1915 of our years. And then that is the equivalent of 1,290 of Daniel's days. Now, just let this flow. Don't make it complicated. So you divide 1,290 into 1915 to get you a common denominator. That is to say, a number that will transfer our years to Daniel's days. We're shooting for 23, okay? And the common denominator here turns out to be 1484, which then Daniel continues on in chapter 12 and says, blessed are those that come to the 1335th year. That means that's probably the second advent or close to it, when things will begin to fall our way because God takes over again, even the enemy. That figures 1981. Hey, listen. Since 1981, there have been many lives touched and changed and brought into truth. Not by man's might, but by God's might. That He puts a network together of 350 television stations and radio around the world to sound the alarm, and many people picking up upon this. Now, let's really get serious with this. You can't use that common denominator because that was the setting up. We're talking casting down. So, and the subject being Jerusalem, when did the old city actually fall? Didn't fall in 1948. It fell one sabbatical time of the locust after. Do you know how long that is? 19 years. 19 years after 1948, the stages of the locust and the locust army. In the year of our Lord, 1967, Jerusalem fell. That's when it was cast down. So you've got to take your same set of facts, and you've got to understand from the casting down, not setting up, how to relate to your 2300 days. How do you do it? Very simple. You do the same math. You take 1967 and you subtract the crucifixion, the taking away of the daily sacrifice. That's why I emphasized it in that eighth chapter. 33 from 1967 gives you 1,934 years. So you must divide 1290 into 1934, and you find a different common denominator. 1499. And if you blessed are those that come to 1335, that brings you to 2001. Now, let me ask you something. What happened in 2001? What kind of casting down? Do you remember anything coming down? 9/11? Hello? Do you remember when it began? And we've been at war ever since. And here we were warned about it. Okay? Now, well, what does that have to do with the 2300 days? Nothing. You know, it just gives us the common denominator. Now let's go to work and figure out what that means. And maybe we'll learn something, okay? Now, are you setting dates? No. This and $5 will get you a cup of coffee about anywhere. But be awake, okay? Don't say Arnold Murray is setting dates. I'm teaching Bible. God had a reason for putting these days and these times in the Word. And it behooves us to try to understand it because we're at the end. So, let's go to work on that. If we take 2300 of Daniel's days, and we take that common denominator of 1499 that we received from the 67 war, we come up with 3,447 years of hours. Now, when did I tell you the temple was cleansed last by God? Because this has to do with the cleansing and when it'll be re-cleansed. Meaning the last time God cleansed it, and the next time, the second advent, when He intends to cleanse it again. Got it? Okay. So, you have to subtract from that 3447, in as much as they dirtied the temple again in the year 1433 B.C. I'm going to say that again. 1433 B.C. Your companion Bible will help you with that. The date Daniel, the date Joshua died minus 1 year. And the first two chapters in Judges documents that they went back to sinning at that same time. They dirtied the temple. Now, when you subtract 1433 from 3447, guess what you come up with? The year of our Lord, 2014. It'd be cleansed again. Now, many would say, 2014? Let me ask you a question. What did Christ do with time? He shortened it. He took 7 years, and He shortened it to 5 months. So when you come up with that 2014, subtract 7 years. And what do you have? 2007 plus 5 months, and the cleansing would take place. Now, let me ask you a question. If you just help me a little with my math here a moment. 1967 plus one generation, 40 years. How long is that? 40 added to 1967. Can somebody tell me? That's 2007. You hear what I said? That's 2007. Same number. Now, let's talk about these 19-year spans of the locust army. You do know the locust army is based on a lot of this, don't you? You know, the year that I was born, and which has nothing to do with this, I just remember it because I remember what the locust did to us. I was born in 1929, and in 1930, the Dust Bowl was happening. People were starving in this blessed nation. I mean, it was bad. The locusts were taking not just a few things, everything. Now, there are some old-timers in here that can remember what I'm talking about. I mean, if you had a bag of peanuts, you had gold, okay? You had something to eat. Okay? Oklahoma peanuts grew there, and that was one of the staples, okay? But even back then. But what's 19 years after 30 is you come to the time of the locust. I mean, we had a man that brought in the WPA, the CCCs, and we worked, this nation did, and whipped out roads and everything else. We got people fed, and we overcome that financial locust dynasty. And 19 years after that is 1948. Another stretch of the locust. What happened in 1948? You know, the nation Israelite became a nation again, both good and bad figs. Another 19-year locust reign after that brings you to 1986. And that's when the fat began to hit the fire in the Middle East again. And 19 years after that is the year of our Lord, 2005. And we are deep into it by then. So, we're living in some interesting times, beloved. And the generation of the fig tree is getting some age on it. And those 2,300 days, that's why he said, I want you to mark them because they're true. It's going to happen at the end that way. And it is for a long time away. That's a Hebraism. I want you to read it again because we're going to go one more place. In the 8th chapter, verse 26, for it shall be for many days. Then I want you to turn to Daniel. I'm sorry. I want you to go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 12. The reason I want you to know also the reason you're coming here is verse 27. Of Ezekiel 12. We'll read it and then I'll do the teaching. So you're with me. Son of man, talking to Ezekiel, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Now that's the Hebraism that I wanted you to understand why it ties in with Daniel's vision. Now drop back to verse 21 with me and listen to your father. He wants you to know this, that in that faraway time, what's going to be happening? And the word of the Lord, verse 21 of Ezekiel chapter 12. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that you have in the land of Israel, saying, the days are prolonged and every vision faileth? It's not going to happen. You want to be real careful, my friend, because too many signs are around us. We're not setting dates. We're talking about signs. They're here. And they're happening. And are you paying attention? Do you know and do you understand? You should. Because he sent you this letter that explains in detail, not man's word, but delivered by Gabriel himself. I don't know. Do you believe God's word? He said, hey, what is this proverb these people saying? It ain't going to happen. It's all, every prophecy there ever has failed. 23, tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease. I'm going to stop them from saying that. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. 24, for there shall be no more any vain vision nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. Your false preachers are going out the window. Your false prophets are going out the window. These people saying, I talked to God today and I didn't send them. They're gone. They're going to have nothing to do with it. Everything I say will come to pass as it's written. That's why you want to pay attention, beloved. I'm seeing some signs. And they're very interesting. These signs are saying we're growing very close. These may be just be types. And it may be prolonged. Hey, he's in control. Whatever he says is okay with me. But he is ringing our bell, my friend. And he said, all my word will come to pass. Don't you dare use that proverb. It ain't going to happen. Verse 25. For I am the Lord. That's Yahweh. I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. There won't be any delays when I get ready. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come. And he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Well, they were at that time. But, beloved, they're not today. You have too many signs, too many seasons, too many... Like I said, I don't like dates. I really don't. You don't hear me teach them all that much. But they're there, and I am a teacher. And God has given me understanding of certain things. So I am forced to bring them to your attention. Don't go setting dates, okay? You wait on the Father. When He's ready, it's over. Are you ready? That's the question. That's my duty, is to try to keep everyone else ready, and with your help, we'll keep them all ready, okay? Therefore, say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. And amen. It's going to come to pass. The Hebraism of it is far off ties in with the evening and the morning. That's why that is so very important. Because why? It fixes the time when it goes from what is here on earth, and when the supernatural begins to interweave and His power begins to take over. It's always been here. But I mean, without doubt, utilizing His election to see that those prophecies come to pass as they are written. Would you like for me to go one more time through the layout of those dates?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you have a pencil, write it down. It's really quite simple. You receive the days of Daniel from Daniel chapter 12. Let me repeat, Daniel chapter 12. In the closing verses, it's real simple. It gives you a beginning and an ending. The beginning is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, 33 A.D. The ending is when Israel became a nation, 1948. That was the setting up, as it is worded in the 11th chapter of Daniel. What we covered today wasn't the setting up, it was the casting down after the fact. You understand? That's why we went to 1967. Now, the way you figure, though, from 1948, many of you have the old Daniel tapes. Re-listen to chapter 12. It'll lay it out for you. But then, you've got the old city did not fall. Tel Aviv was the capital, remember? Not Jerusalem. And then in 1967, Jerusalem fell. That's when the old city fell, and that set in a new benchmark. That being the year of our Lord, 1967. So you subtract, as it's stated in that 8th chapter, the daily sacrifice ending. That was in the year of our Lord, 33. If you need confirmation that it ended then, make a side note of Hebrews chapter 10. Okay, it'll fill you in of why that ended daily sacrifice, because it's an abomination for you to sacrifice something when Christ has already done it. And then you come up with a common denominator, which means something that will transfer Daniel's days to our years, utilizing the 67 date of 1.499. And blessed is he that comes to 1335, gives you 2001. And at 2001, in the falling down of the old city, we saw a lot happen. We saw a lot fall down here. And we've been in it ever since. And are we winning? Of course we are. And I would not dare say why, because you know it's God. And it always will be, okay, when you're serving Him. Never question that. Okay. And then with that common denominator of 1,499, multiply that times 2,300, 2,300 days. And how simple is it? You got 3,447 years of hours. The temple was cleansed last, as it is written in Joshua chapter 23, that it was polluted again in the year of our Lord, 1433 B.C. Okay, that's why you have to subtract it, because that was before Christ. So you subtract that time before Christ from the 3447 and you come up with 2014. And until Christ shortened the time, that's what it would have been. But he took away that 7 years and installed 5 months. So you got to subtract seven. That brings you to 2007 and 5 months. Don't set that as a date. Let it be a benchmark where you're awake and alert, and let God use you. Again, I want to make it very clear. I am not setting dates, but this is what God's Word says. These events are happening, and I think anyone that knows our Father, when you see the times and what's happening now, you know we're coming to that place. You can feel it. And you know our Father is talking to people, and our Father is touching the leaders, and we're beginning to see people begin to move back into the circles of God's control. We're beginning to... The thing that pleases me most is that young people today are starving for truth. As you will notice, this congregation is not all gray-headed like me. Okay? God bless you. Okay? You know, I love to see young people study. I love to... Senior citizens, fantastic. But when we see young people, when their own parents don't believe... You know, last week I had a letter from a 10-year-old that said, I wish my mom and dad would study the Bible with me. 10-year-old, you know? And said, they're not following God, and I wish they would. Well, you know, that's beautiful. That's hope. And do you know where that 10-year-old, he started studying at 4 with the chapel? Now, that makes a difference. You know, that really makes you feel good about the ministry. That makes you feel good about God's Word, that God's Word holds you up. You don't have to apologize for it. He said it. It's true. And that's why today when he completed there in... do you know what the next chapter was after chapter 12? It was 13. And in the 20th verse, do you know what it says? Boy, am I going to fix those that teach my children to fly to save their souls. And had you continued on into chapter 13, he comes down on false preachers so bad that, I mean, it would make your feet burn even if you were one of them. I mean, it would get hot. He's not going to put up with it. He wants you to simply take what he says, accept it in your heart and mind, and know he's your Father. And he loves you. He says what he means, and he means what he says. It has always come to pass, and if one just takes the time to check out history, you find it's true. That's exactly the way she comes down. You've got the plan of the day, so go with it. Well, I'm going to quit. You all, none of you are going to take pencils and paper and do a little homework, are you here? You know, I trust that you are, okay? And if you have any problems, well, it's really... Like all of God's Word, it's really quite simple. You know, it's just simple math, nothing complicated about it. So, I love you all.